In the quiet mountain town of Lodge Pole, Colorado, a gunshot shatters more than just the night silence. 13-year-old Nora Sheehan sits in a jail cell after killing her 14-year-old brother, Nico. Her parents, Angie and David, are left to navigate the wreckage of their family life crime scene. Crime scene tape across their children's bedrooms, a funeral with a closed casket, and the impossible weight of grief that comes when one child takes another's life. The small-town police are unprepared for this situation, and the Sheehans find themselves thrust into a nightmare they never imagined possible. Their home, once a sanctuary, has become a crime scene. Their family, once whole, now exists in fragments. And the question that haunts every corner of their shattered lives remains unanswered. Why would Nora shoot her brother? When David desperately pounds on attorney Martine Dumont's door at dawn, he sets in motion a legal battle that will determine his daughter's entire future. Martine, a 72-year-old attorney on the verge of retirement, initially resists taking the case, but reluctantly agrees when she learns of the family's financial strain from Nico's medical treatments. The legal challenges quickly become overwhelming. $100,000 for court fees and expert witnesses on top of their second mortgage for Nico's Huntington's disease care. But the true devastation comes when District Attorney Gil Stuckey files to transfer Nora's case to adult court, where she could face life imprisonment instead of a 7-year juvenile sentence. The justice system shows little mercy for her age, treating her not as a troubled child, but as a cold-blooded murderer. What happens when punishment becomes vengeance? When does justice heal, and when does it merely compound the tragedy? Life at Pinyon County Juvenile Detention Center strips away Nora's former existence. Inside these walls, she wears the same used sweatpants as everyone else, follows strict rules, and marks each passing day on a handmade calendar. Winter permeates the detention center. Cold cinder blocks, cement floors, and metal bunks create a bleak reality where girls wear sweatshirts and socks constantly to combat the chill. Some find detention preferable to troubled homes, but for Nora, it's a stark fall from her privileged background. She remains withdrawn, speaking little, heavily medicated, and complaining about seeing flies that aren't there. When asked about Nico's death, she insists she doesn't remember what happened. On her 14th birthday in detention, the reality of her sentence becomes painfully clear. She won't be going home for 10 to 30 years. What she craves most is her mother's chocolate cake with white frosting, a simple reminder of the normal life now permanently beyond her reach. The narrative gradually unravels a complex history connecting these characters through tragedy. Julian and Angie were high school sweethearts whose relationship ended after the skiing accident that killed Angie's sister Diana. But the truth of that day remained buried. They had been smoking weed and drinking vodka before their final run. Julian accidentally collided with Diana, hidden under a lip in the trail, but they told ski patrol she hit a tree, concealing their intoxication. Despite this tragedy, they secretly maintained their relationship through college and into their professional lives in New York. Their connection began unraveling when Angie's father was diagnosed with cancer, pulling her back to Lodge Pole, where she reconnected with David Sheehan. After her father's death and 9/11, Angie left Julian permanently, returning to Colorado and marrying David. 3 weeks later, she discovered she was pregnant with Julian's child. She never told either man the truth about Nico's paternity, a secret that would eventually collide with the present in devastating ways. During plea negotiations for Nora's case, an unexpected revelation shatters everything. After securing a compromise, second-degree murder with 15 years in juvenile detention and possibility of parole after 7, Julian and Martine present the terms to David and Angie. In the emotionally charged meeting, David reveals that Nico's Huntington's disease resulted from a rare, spontaneous genetic mutation. Neither he nor Angie carried the gene. This strikes Julian like a physical blow as he connects his recent symptoms, tremors, clumsiness, irritability, to the possibility of Huntington's. Medical tests confirm his worst fears. He has the disease, and Nico was undoubtedly his biological son. The confrontation with Angie becomes devastating as Julian demands answers about her years of deception, keeping his child from him, and creating an unconscionable ethical dilemma by allowing him to defend his son's killer without knowing the truth. In a symbolic moment, Julian's hand loses its grip on a jar of sauce, shattering it across the gallery floor and streaking Angie's painting with angry red splatter. A visual representation of how one secret can destroy everything built on its foundation. Throughout the novel, the question of why Nora shot her brother remains a haunting enigma. Memories return to her in fragments, the family sharing bowls of chili, her finally beating Nico at his favorite Xbox game, and the immediate wave of regret after the gunshot. These intertwine with recollections of Nico's decline from Huntington's disease, his once steady hands beginning to shake, his sharp mind starting to blur. Angie recalls a suppressed memory from weeks before. Nico, frustrated by his disease's limitations, hurled a half-finished Lego spaceship at Nora when she tried to help. During a pivotal conversation with Julian, Nora asks, "What if I did it?" her voice trembling with possibility. Her admission that she doesn't want to remember suggests a protective mechanism shielding her from an unbearable truth. After months of investigation, Martine reaches a profound realization. Some questions may never have satisfying answers. The intersection of Huntington's diagnosis, mental illness, and family dynamics created a perfect storm that shattered not just Nico's life, but Nora's identity as well. The novel's most profound journey is toward forgiveness after unimaginable tragedy. When Angie visits Father Lopez for confession, he helps her understand that true forgiveness isn't a transaction requiring explanation, it's an act of grace. Angie transforms DeLuca's old restaurant into an art gallery, showcasing work from local artists and incarcerated juveniles, creating a space where pain becomes beauty. The pivotal moment arrives on Nora's 14th birthday in the detention facility's visiting room. As Nora works on her recurring mountain scene, the landscape she's painted dozens of times since that day, Angie finally breaks their loaded silence about Nico. "I forgive you." This becomes transformative as Nora collapses into her mother's arms, sobbing with long-held grief. Angie realizes forgiveness wasn't something to solve or earn through understanding. It was a gift that arrived like dawn after a long night. Their synchronized breaths recall when they floated together on the ocean years ago, before tragedy drew its dark line through their lives. In this moment, we see that while forgiveness cannot undo the past, it can create space for a different future, one where healing, however incomplete, becomes possible.